All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Jane. I'm a graduate student up at Clarkson University in Potsdam, New York, and I'm here today to present my research on air emissions during the land application of manure. So the goal of this study is to investigate the air quality implications of manure application with respect to particulate matter, ammonia, and bioaerosols. And we do this for both raw manure and anaerobic digester effluent, and these are dairy manures. We also compare three different application techniques that include conventional broadcast application or splash plate, low-height broadcasting or drag hosing, and direct subsurface injection where the soil is parted, the manure is injected, and then recovered on top of the manure. So why do we care? Particulate matter is a concern because of the respiratory damage that these particles can cause when they get inhaled into the respiratory tract, especially if they contain small particles that can be inhaled deep into the respiratory system. But what we're interested in here is in the composition of those particles with respect to bioaerosols. Bioaerosols are defined as any type of particle that's a biological particle suspended in the air. So they can range from whole cells, bacteria and fungi, to cellular products such as endotoxin that can cause a variety of health effects ranging from allergies to infections and illness of the lungs and sinuses, or in the case of fecal pathogens that we're talking about here, the particles can be deposited in the upper respiratory tract from where they're swallowed into the GI tract, and then they can cause gastrointestinal illness. We're also concerned about virulence factors, such as antibiotic resistance, because we believe that this can be a route of both release and transport of those properties in the environment. Ammonia is a concern because it represents a nutrient loss, but also the potential for deposition of reactive nitrogen species onto water bodies and sensitive land areas, which can cause acidification and eutrophication that we all hear about all the time. So to make these measurements, we set up an array of equipment at the downwind end of field and allow it to operate for about 8 hours following manure application. Particulate matter is measured using DustTrack DRX, which logs the PM concentration in four different size bins every second. So it's a real-time measurement. Bioaerosols are collected on both a total and size-segregated basis. Cultivation-based measurements of total bacteria and fungi are made using a six-stage Anderson-type impactor, which uses an increasing velocity profile to size-segregate the particles. And this collects it just onto an agar plate, which we can then incubate and then enumerate the colonies after a couple days. That's a kind of a traditional measurement. We also use various samplers to collect bioaerosols for molecular analysis using real-time quantitative PCR for total bacteria, fecal indicator species, selective pathogens, and antibiotic resistance genes. And the samplers here, what we use, on the left is liquid impinger. That collects cells into a swirling liquid. The idea is there to keep the cells happy without destroying them. On the right is open-face filter. That's just a polycarbonate filter that we draw air through and then extract DNA from. And then the Moody is a cascade impactor that operates similar to the Anderson impactor that we use for the cultivation measurements, except that we collect onto filters rather than onto agar media. Ammonia emission is measured using the EPA isolation flux chamber, which just uses a sweep flow to measure volatilization rates. And then deposition flux of both bioaerosols and ammonia are measured using these surrogate surface samplers. Basically, they're just large plexiglass dish, and then on the edge is a knife edge so that it creates laminar flow across the surface. That way, anything you collect in the central collection dish would have been deposited vertically down and not blown in by the wind. So that gives us an idea of deposition flux. Now, onto our preliminary results. I say preliminary because this represents only the first of three study periods, and it's primarily based on broadcast manure application, which is the most common technique used. So far, it consists only of the non-digested manure samples. So this is almost like a base case for the manure application. For particulate matter, we found concentrations generally to be quite low, ranging from 10 to 80 micrograms per cubic meter, which is near typical rural background and well below the EPA standard, which is 150 micrograms per cubic meter. And this is dominated by fine particles. Whereas you expect coarse particles to be generated by a mechanical process in the field, such as the wind blowing across it or a tractor driving around. So this together with the low concentrations suggests that most of what we're detecting for particles are just ambient aerosol. We do see an influence of seasonal changes, environmental conditions, and procedural variations on our particulate concentrations. But again, we don't think that the concentration doesn't seem to be that high at any point, and we think that the composition may be more important, and that's where our bioaerosol analysis comes in. But more on the PM, this is just showing the average PM during the morning and the afternoon on some events last year, with the bars to the your left side would be the finer particles, and you can see those typically dominate the majority of the mass. And the days where you do see anything in the larger sizes are where it was dry and dusty. And then in the fall, where everything's cool and wet, you really didn't see much PM in the coarse particle range at all. But then again, this is all well within background range, not very high concentrations here. And similarly, this is just a time series of one event. You can see normally it says zero in this axis. That's about probably 10 to 20 micrograms per cubic meter, very low. But we see these periodic peaks, and these are when maybe the wind blew by or a tractor was driving the field. And that's when we see these coarse particles come out. And we think that those are the events that are actually showing suspension of particles from the field. So for bioaerosols, cultivation-based measurements have indicated around 100 to 200 bacteria and 500 to 1,000 fungi per cubic meter, which is slightly elevated above our measured background. And these are mostly associated with coarse particles, which suggests that they may have been generated by processes on the field rather than just part of the ambient aerosol, which is obviously what we're trying to measure here. So that's interesting. Molecular measurements indicate higher concentrations of bacteria, and this is expected because they include non-viable and non-cultivable cells as well as those that can be cultivated under the selected growth conditions for our Anderson impactor. Fecal indicator species were around 100 to 1,000 per cubic meter, and they're near our quantitative detection limits from our PCR method. And bacterial deposition velocities were between 1 and 5 centimeters per second, which is a typical deposition rate for these size particles. So that makes sense. And then we also have a further genetic analysis pending, and this will hopefully identify specific species and traits, including selected pathogens. Klebsiella campylobacter on here. We also could do Salmonella, E. coli 015787, the different pathogens you hear about all the time in food poisoning, antibiotic-resistant genes, and then host of biomarkers. These are these exploit differences in the fecal bacteria of different types of animals, and that way you can tell if the fecal pollution came from a cow or a pig or a human, and that's already used or it's being developed to be used for water quality, and we're going to see if these can be applied to air quality as well. For ammonia, we see the greatest emission flux for broadcast application at 35 milligrams per meter squared hour, and the least for direct injection, which makes sense because with injection you're going to bury it, so you expect more to be kept in the soil. We notice that ammonia is affected by temperature and timing of manure incorporation, with low temperature and rapid plowing, reducing loss. And we also expect manure pH, wind speed, and soil moisture to exert influence on these emissions. And here's just a typical time series of our ammonia flux, where it peaks after a period of several hours and slowly levels out over a few days. And then, as I mentioned, this is an ongoing study, so there's a lot of work to be done. On our continuing data analysis, we need to tie together particulates and bioaerosols, including their size distribution, and try and tease the differences between days. I showed you all the variation on the PM data from day to day, and we need to somehow make sense of all that, including differences from background, because we're pretty close to that. Genetic analysis needs to continue for those other targets that I mentioned. And we're also conducting bench-scale ammonia emission experiments, which should help us to tease out some of those confounding factors that I mentioned in the previous slide. In our field campaign, we've added nitrous oxide monitoring to our flux chamber, which this represents both a nutrient loss and a potent greenhouse gas. We're also adding a high-volume PM sampler that offers about 100 times greater flow rate than our other samplers, So this should help us to increase our detection limits and hopefully look for some of those harder to find targets like the pathogens. We're trying to get in our sampling, we need to get a better grasp of background so that we can differentiate our samples from that background, especially if most of our particles are part of the ambient aerosol. And we need to get replicates of the other application types. There was one or two on that we've done so far, but we need to try and get those other ones as well. And then, of course, to include other farms that utilize anaerobic digestion for their manure. And with that, I'd like to thank you guys for your time and entertain any questions you might have. In the soil? We don't do that. We only take samples after the mineral has been applied. What we're looking for here is mostly fecal pathogens. So we wouldn't really expect to find any type of contamination, I guess you could call it, in the soil before the mineral is applied. Maybe some in the previous year or something, but not too much. Yep. So we try and put it down right after they spread. We're out in the field though, and we're at the mercy of the farmer, so it's kind of as close as we can get, as fast as we can get there. But ideally, we put it down immediately after he spreads, and then allow it to operate for 3 or 4 days until we've seen the entire flux of ammonia. Sure.
How far downwind
do these go?
You ought to be away from an agricultural field to be safe.
Yeah, no, up where we are, they'll spread right up to the edge. We're in a rural area, and they'll spread up to the edge of town. And, of course, the people who live in town will complain about odor when they spread manure. But as far as transport of these particles, we haven't really gotten too far into the modeling stage of this yet. Our measurements are taken right at the edge of field, maybe 3 or 4 meters downwind. So we're really measuring the emission and not the transport, but we'll be able to put those into the models eventually to see the transport and hopefully make those types of conclusions. Yep.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.